Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
This would be the prayer in our hearts, Lord, just to know you in a way deeper than we have before, Lord, that we come to experience you deeper, Lord, that we allow you to just unleash what you've promised, what you've provided, what you've called us to have, Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray that, that you just speak your message through me today, Lord, that you just open and prepare everyone's heart, Lord, just to not leave this building and just go back to life, Lord, but to leave with you, to leave with your Spirit, and to just be charged, Lord, for this race and this battle that we're in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I want everyone here to picture being a disciple. Just think about this, okay? You wake up with Jesus. You go to bed with Jesus. You go hear him speak. What's written in this Bible, all the red letters here, you hear it through your own ears. You've spent years with him. You've heard his teaching straight from his mouth. You've rested your head on his chest. You've eaten with him. And you've just been in the midst of Jesus himself. Think about that. That would be pretty cool. But then Jesus says to them, it's going to be better for us, for them, for him to leave, to get out of the way so that his Holy Spirit can come upon us. If you have a Bible, flip to John 14, verses 15 to 21. Again, that's John 14, 15 to 21. So I just want to, as we read through this passage, just have the mindset of literally being a disciple with Christ. And in John 14, 15 to 21, it says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If I were a disciple, I wouldn't want to believe that. If I had Jesus right here and I could literally touch him, I could hear his voice, it'd be very hard for me to believe that something could be better than that. They didn't want to believe it. He told them. So with that said, have you ever said a statement like, if I witnessed Jesus and saw his miracles, then I would believe? I think we hear that all the time. If I just saw Jesus do a miracle, or if I just heard it from his lips, as opposed to, you know, where do I know, how do I know this Bible is really his word and it didn't, you know, someone didn't push their agenda. If I just heard it from him, I would believe. Tens of thousands saw Jesus, saw his miracles, heard his teachings. And at the end of the day, they all left. It's him and his 12. He fed 5,000. Plus women and children, through a miracle. And all those people who ate that food left. Because he's saying it's not going to be easy. Here's the narrow road. You got to follow me. And they didn't want to hear it. So I sit here and I say, well, if I did witness Jesus, would I really feel that way? Tens of thousands saw it, witnessed it, and didn't. And this is kind of a key point here, but Jesus was not a people pleaser, but a people saver. Think about that. He's not a people pleaser, but a people saver. It's a big deal. He didn't care that everyone left. And as like a teacher of his word, that kind of gives me like, it gives me courage in the fact that as long as I'm preaching his word, it doesn't matter how many people are there at the end of the day. It's not about, you know, how big we can build revival or how big we can build this church. It's about preaching the truth. So as I was kind of diving into this, God just revealed to me, like, just Peter. Okay, so I want to look at Peter here. We're going to look at, if you want to flip in your Bible to Matthew 14, 28 to 33. We're going to do a little bit of flipping today. Again, that's Matthew 14, 28 to 33. So put yourself in Peter's position here, okay? He's in the presence of Jesus, in the midst of a miracle, okay, walking on water, okay? Jesus is walking on water. Peter says, call me out there. I'll walk on water too. So Jesus is standing on water. I don't know about you guys, but that's pretty hard to do. If you've seen Mythbusters, you know that that's impossible. But think about that. This is where he's at, okay? Jesus is standing on water. He's standing on water. In Matthew 14, 28 to 33, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So Peter saw Jesus walking on water, one miracle. Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on water, another miracle. And even while standing on the water, he doubted. He didn't doubt before he got on the water. It was once he got on it. Oh man, I can't do this. So this is Peter with Jesus. In the midst of a miracle. Standing there on the water with Jesus and he doubts. Not a whole lot of faith there. So again, I go back to when you say, if I witnessed Jesus and saw his miracles, I would then believe. The cool part to this story is if you flip to Acts 5, verses 12 to 16, this is Peter on the other side of it. That's Acts 5, 12 to 16. So, the same Peter who doubted and started sinking into the water is this same Peter with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is after Jesus leaves. This is in the early church in Acts. After Jesus went back up to heaven, this is with the Holy Spirit. And I want to just look at, with the Holy Spirit, the power that Peter had. Acts 5, 12 to 16, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them. But the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. This is the same Peter. Same guy that's sinking in the water in the presence of Jesus, is so powerful because of the Holy Spirit that people are getting saved just or getting healed just by his shadow. This is pretty cool to look at Peter before the Holy Spirit and then after. And I also just want to point out that without the Holy Spirit and without Jesus, he denied Jesus. So it wasn't Peter. Because without Jesus, he was way worse. But then with the Holy Spirit, look at what he can do. And it's not because of his power, it's because of the Holy Spirit in him. So my question today is, do we believe in the same Holy Spirit? Do you? Do I? We have the same Holy Spirit. So why is it that we're not looking more like Peter, where people are bringing, you know, people are running after him? Think about how much the church would grow if that were happening. I mean, if everyone in this room had that power flowing through them, I think we could change the world. So I have a, in Revival a couple years back, I think now, we did what was called a spiritual treasure hunt, which is you go and you pray for God to just give you images, something that you're supposed, that he's going to call you to go out and pray to, or just, you know, preach his word to, is very different for me. Something that I was definitely not comfortable with. We went to the Spectrum, so it was even worse, because then I might run into someone I know. And I'm not the evangelical type. I'm also not the teaching type. But with his power, we can do it. So in this, we teamed up with another church out of Irvine, one of my good friends, Zach. And he had done this, I don't know, 100 times or something like that at this point. So he had invited us to go with him, and I was like, yeah, that'll be great. Yeah, yeah, sure, we'll do it. And I remember waking up that morning and trying to come up with any excuse I could. Anything. And they were all just awful. I couldn't even text them because they were so ridiculous. And but I was trying to get out of it. And so when I got there at the Spectrum, I ended up parking on the wrong side. We were meeting in the fountain out front of the theater, and for some reason I parked at the complete other end. And so we have these Revival business cards. It's just a card that has Revival, it has a time, the place we meet, it has the verse of the group. It's a great just tool, like, you know, if you meet someone, yeah, come to our group, here's all the information. And so I had, we had brought a bunch of those, and as I'm walking through the Spectrum, I'm just, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I'll just kind of sprinkle these cards around so that at the end of the day, I can at least say I did that. This was kind of my, like, bailout plan. And so I'm going around the Spectrum, and I'm just kind of tossing cards on tables as I walk. I'm just walking, power walking through, and I just toss a card or two on empty tables. And I was picturing, like, the cleaning, like, janitor guy right behind me sweeping him into the trash, you know. But so that's what I did. So then I go all the way across. I drop off these cards. I do my part for the day. And we get together, and then we go and we pray. And it was really, you know, it was one of those things where I had not done that like that before. And we just prayed, you know, God, just show me what you want. Show me what you want. I had no idea what to expect. The really cool part was we sit down and we pray. And we pray individually. There was about 20 of us, 15, 20 of us, something like that. I'm sitting there praying. And then all of a sudden God reveals to me like an Asian man. Which I was like, okay, God, I got this. It's a Spectrum. I'll find one. And I was like, that's not too hard. So that's what the first thing I get. And then God gives me that he's going to be wearing a gray hoodie with a yellow graphic on the front. And he was going to have over-the-head headphones, so like the big ones that go on. You know, and to me, it's like, those are like really antisocial. Spectrum's a social place. What are the odds of finding someone wearing those in the Spectrum? And those are, you know, like 15 years ago anyways. No one has those anymore. So all of a sudden, it's like, God, why are you limiting this so much? Asian man, that was easy. Now all of a sudden, I got to look for a guy with a gray hoodie, yellow graphic, with over-the-head headphones on. And he gave me some other things too, and we just wrote them all down after we prayed, or as we were praying. And then I'll never forget, we ended the prayer, and I look over, and Zach has the same exact guy, even with a little bit more detail. And I was like, oh, geez, God, why are you limiting yourself to being so specific? You know, what if we don't ever find this guy? And it was just amazing. So I look at Zach, I'm like, that's exactly the guy that I have too. So we broke up into teams. I went on his team. And that was strategic too, because I knew he would take the lead since he's done this so many times, I could kind of just hide there. So as we're sitting there, I know God could do it. But the question was, would he? I knew he could, but would he? And I'm just thinking, maybe it's too specific. And so we walk out, we were doing this prayer in the food court at the Spectrum, if you're familiar with that. And before we can even leave that courtyard, I literally run into the man that we had seen. Literally, like, we did that, like, whole, like, awkward dance thing where, like, I'm going to go this way, and then he went that way. And we ended up actually hitting, like, shoulder to shoulder. And it was just God giving me... He had no interest in Christ. Zero. I mean, just completely shut off to it. We tried preaching to him, but he just wanted nothing to do with it. And the thing that's cool about it is God just used that to reassure me of his power. After that moment, it was like, okay, you know, all these other things that seem so weird too, all these other things I'm looking for, like a guy on a train in the Spectrum, we found him. it's just so bizarre. And then the cool part was another guy that we ran into later that day. We ran into him. He was someone on one of the guys' lists, and we were talking to him, praying for him. And I was like, "Oh, you know, like we have a young adult group over here, and here's a card." And so I pull out a card and I hand it to him. He's like, "Oh, I already got one of those." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Did one of the other groups already run into you?" He's like, "No, I found one on a table." So the cool part is God even used that. So in this whole thing, my question, like, that God put on my heart is, like, is the Holy Spirit predictable? I don't know about you guys, but the more that I give it up to him, the more unpredictable and fresh my walk gets. And this is a key point here. The path he takes us on might be unpredictable to our fleshly minds, but the predictable part is that God's path is always better than ours. So we might not expect it, but it's going to be better. You guys don't have to flip here, but Matthew 6, 25 to 27, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" And then James 4, 13 to 16, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." So if God calls us not to worry about planning out every detail for our lives and our future, then why do we plan out church so strictly? I mean, this is God. This is God. Yet we plan it out. I was kind of convicted because, you know, I set up a schedule for this morning. And it was like, wow, you know. But here's the thing. I'm an architect. Everything is planned out. I love knowing what's going to happen. I hate surprises. Yet in revival, it's very unpredictable. Because wherever the Holy Spirit leads, we go. And every night is different. I mean, we've had nights where I've prepared a whole message, and then God just takes it and goes like this. Even Jillian's like, "Where are you?" as she's looking at my notes. And I'm like, "I don't know." We've had nights where it's just like, you know what? Let's not do a teaching tonight. Let's put on a CD and relax in his presence. We've had dinner just in fellowship. He knows exactly what we need. Do we let him give it to us? Or do we put him in this box? And there's a little difference here. It's not... We are not to be unprepared. And that's why I like this focus that God's put on revival, is like building this foundation. We have the foundation built so that when he calls us to do things, the foundation's there. It's very different. It's not saying just don't prepare. You know, just show up, and you know, if you don't have a message prepared, then you know, bring a CD. It's not that. God does it when we are prepared. If we give him the time, that's when he does these things. So the question is, doesn't your soul long to be a part of something supernatural? I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm in something supernatural, I don't want to leave it. All of a sudden, that spectrum day where I didn't want to even go, it was like, it's over. You know, and it was like, I just didn't want it to end. So like Francis said in the video, the wave is coming. Do you want to turn and be a part of it? Or do you want to try to fight it? And I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever tried to fight a wave, it doesn't really work. You're just going to get rolled and rolled and rolled. So the wave is moving. All we have to do is turn around and go with it. But if you try to go backwards with the wave, it's not going to work. So I kind of listed out some reasons why we don't experience the power of the Holy Spirit as it's desired by God. First one is lack of faith. Peter walking on the water. He's in the midst of a miracle and he's still sinking. That's a reason why we don't do it. The second one, we don't want it to change everything. As soon as you give it up to God, everything changes. More often than not. It's because we're holding on to this world. So if you don't want it to change, it's not going to. If you don't give it to him, he's not gonna do it. The third one is sin in our flesh. We just let sin get right between us. Fourth one is we put God in a box. We fit him into our service and the time that we box out for him. As soon as you give it to God, all of a sudden the time just kind of, all of a sudden you're not worried about the time anymore. The fifth one is we look at ourselves instead of the Holy Spirit in us. We try to do it on our own. If I'm looking at myself, I'm not getting up here and delivering the message that he's called me to deliver. And if I'm looking at myself, all of a sudden going out and looking for this Asian man with all these specifications looks really difficult. Yet for God, I get not even 100 feet and I run into him. And the last one is that we don't seek it. This takes an effort on our part. We have to be in the Word. We have to be in prayer, and we have to be dedicated to him. If we're not, we make it really difficult. So the question is, how can we experience the power of the Holy Spirit? As we leave today, how can we experience it? The answer is we need to live it, act it, and pray like we believe it. It's a big deal to live it. That means not just going out of this church and going back to the work week. Live it, not just in this building. We need to act it. There's a call to action with this. God didn't give us these things on this treasure map just so we can just, you know, go in and watch a movie. We had to go out and do it, and then he prepared the way for us. And we need to pray like we believe it. We actually just went through prayer and even praying. You know, how do we pray? Do we pray for his will, for his Holy Spirit? Or do we give him a shopping list? And then end it with, in the name of Jesus, I pray. You know, here's all my shopping list, and then Jesus, this is for you. So, we need to live it, act it, and pray like we believe it. It's not an easy thing. It means dying to our flesh, dying to our desires, and putting on his. And his desires for us are way better than what we have. So I want us each to just look at our heart, see where we're at. I mean, are we doing like what Peter did? Which Peter are we? Are we the one just, you know, when Jesus does a miracle, we're still sinking? Or are we the one where people are bringing out the sick from cities all over the place, just so his shadow can fall upon them because he's that powerful with the Holy Spirit? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for each of our hearts. Lord, if we hold on to our fleshly hearts, Lord, this will never happen. We'll never know the fullness that you have called us to, the fullness that you prepare us for, the fullness that you want, and the fullness that we want. Lord, I just pray that you just take our wills, take our plans, take our future, take our past, take our sins, take our disbelief. We just want to lay it at your feet, Lord, so that we can know you in a way that we've never experienced you before. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are faithful. Lord, you did not leave them without the Holy Spirit. I just pray that we just be filled with it, that as we leave this place, Lord, that we just look to this broken world out there. We look like Peter did, where people have faith enough to bring their sick and their dying just to have his shadow pass upon them. If we look like that, I don't think this country would look the way it does right now. Lord, I just pray that we do our part in this. All we have to do is lay it down. That's it, and then you'll do the rest. But Lord, that's so hard. I just pray, Lord, that you just speak to each person's heart. Lord, you've pierced our hearts today, Lord. I just pray that we allow you just to build it back. Build it better. Lord, you have such a better plan than we do, and I thank you so much for that. Lord, I'm just honored that we can sit here and pray to you. Pray for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that each one of us is just lit on fire and that we don't leave this place unchanged. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.